Anyway,
good
evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kurt Hahn, CEO and founder of S3 Productions, and I'm on my second channel, Technical Storytelling with a Heart. And tonight, I am most honored to talk to Leslie Anderson, a teacher of high renown in LAUSD for teaching exploring computer science at the Fauché Learning Academy with LA Unified School District. She's been doing this for, 10 years now? And I've been told by the experts that she is the lady who knows everything there is to know about teaching computer science. And with that, I want to teach it next year, so I figured I'd go right to the source. So, Leslie, lay on all that great wisdom.
Oh, okay. I will do my best.
That's all I ask.
This is my second year teaching exploring computer science. I was doing something very similar to it before, and then I found this curriculum, and since it was a G requirement, it seemed like a good idea to take it on. And I think it just made my classroom so much stronger.
How did you find out about
it? Honestly, somebody in my school got a brochure, and he wanted to teach it to his eighth graders, and they wouldn't let him. So he just put it in my mailbox. And I had been looking to make sure that all of the classes that I teach were A through G aligned so that the students would get college credit. So when I saw this in my box and saw that it was a GE requirement, I looked through it. And I was already teaching basically Unit 1, which is like computer architecture, speaking with computers, I think they call it, and problem solving and HTML, and then they were also adding Scratch programming and robotics, and that just seemed like a cool idea.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went to training. Yeah. It was awesome. And I didn't even realize they trained me over the summer and they sent me a coach. So it was really easy to integrate it into my classroom. And, there's definitely people and a whole network that I can contact when I have an idea or a question so that I don't feel like I'm teaching all by myself, which is often, I think, what you feel when you're teaching computer science. You don't really have colleagues on campus to talk to very much.
That's true, because at my school, because in my other life I teach high school, the only other teacher we have doing computers is all geared towards business and applications, which is really well and wonderful, but that's not my thing in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I know for me, I found the ECS curriculum. I went to the Computer Science Teachers Association meeting down in Irvine a year ago, June.
Right.
And I was fortunate to go up to San Jose for a week, middle of July, and I took the ECS course up there for a week, which was really cool. It was kind of a vacation time for my wife and I. And that's how I met people there that eventually led me to you. And so
yes. It was nice of Gary Page to mention me.
You did. You came in very high regards. So tell me about the course. So tell me about the course in general.
It's laid out in 6 units. And what I really like about the people who help coach you with ECS, they tell you, use what works for you, find your voice in it. It's not rehearsed, you don't have to follow a script, and there's a lot of room to put your stamp on it. But the best thing that I love about ECS is, it's built on computer science theories, inquiry, and equity. And that inquiry, making sure that you're asking the questions and you're getting the kids to question, has really, I think, made my teaching stronger and given my students the confidence that, sometimes as a teacher, when a kid asks a question, you feel like, I have to know the answer. And that's not the case, because they need to figure out how to answer their own questions. So I really, use that inquiry model throughout the entire curriculum. And then the equity issue, computer science is well known for being filled with white men. And if you're not brought up in a home with a computer, the odds of you going to computer science are slim. And they're doing all these studies, and we have code.org, preaching that I think by 2020 there's going to be over 1 million jobs in computer science, and there's only going to be 40,000 people qualified. So there's this gap of jobs that are going to be created and not enough people to fill them. So, this is definitely a curriculum that anybody could take, and it's entry level. You don't have to, you know, before it was you had to jump into AP computer science and start with Java, which is sort of insane. And this really helps you find, helps the students, I think, find their voice in computer science.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm trying to do. And quite frankly, my biggest problem, bar none, and I'm not sure if it's me or what, but I tell the kids, and I work with, I'm very much an inquiry basis. I tell them, that's the way life works. That you got to ask the questions. If you won't even ask the questions, you know, nothing anybody's going to do for you. But my biggest problem is the sounds of silence, the whispering in the wind, if you will, and just the...
Right.
I'm not sure what you call it, that deer in the headlight look.
Right, yeah. Which is often. I mean, when you're trying to teach a class of 40 students, they don't want to respond. So I really stepped away from being center. You know, it's not me and 40 of them. They do a lot of teamwork. We start with Unit 1. I've been doing an ethics and technology project with an English and history teacher. So we do that right away, and we get them speaking and doing presentations. There's a activity in Unit 1 for ECS called, I don't know what it's called, but it's about Web 2.0. And that's a, for me, it's a very fun activity because I get them into groups of three, and I just give them random websites or that, you know, I've done a little bit of research on, and they have to teach it to the class. So we use, like, Symbaloo, which is a cool site, and Go Animate, where you can make your own videos. We did Prezi. We did... Tagzito, where you can make pictures out of words. And, you know, and it's small and it's tiny. Like, you start really small with them, something that they can be successful at. Like, these sites are really easy to make a username and account for, figure it out, and then they teach it to others. And now they've got some confidence that they can do something. You know, they still aren't great public speakers, but, like, that's something, the community aspect of the classroom, getting them to trust each other and talk to each other, I think is key. So, and it takes time. It takes a lot of building and building and building. You know, I get them to stand up and get into groups of three and then change and get into a different group of three, you know, just to answer a question like, you know, what are the different ways you can store information on a computer, or what are the different computers you can even think of? How many computers do you see in this room? How many computers do you think you have at your house? So that instead of just answering a question on paper or, you know, asking class of 40 to, you know, who's going to raise their hand, you just force them to talk to each other. And sometimes your answers are wrong, and sometimes they're not great, but it gets them comfortable. Because that's really, I think teenagers don't want to be look silly. And their default mode is, I'm bored. You know, like they just, if they don't understand something, that equals I'm bored. And that doesn't fly.
As I tell them, in the real world, that's called unemployment.
Right. And we do that too. One of the things that I do with my class, along with ECS, I have a big career curriculum that I integrate. So like the first day that I meet them, I meet them at the door and I look them in the eyes and I shake their hand, and they have to shake my hand with a firm handshake. They have to look me in the eye and they have to say their name clearly. And if they don't, they go to the end of the line and they have to earn their right to come into the door by presenting themselves. And
That's an interesting idea. I haven't tried that before.
It is awesome, you know, and they, like, have to think about, what did I do? How did that person get in, and why didn't I? And I'll have kids try 5 or 6 times, you know, and I'll be, you know, trying to get their eyes to follow my eyes. And, you know, we talk about it because nobody ever gives the job to the person they don't remember, you know, to the person that didn't make a sound, to the person that didn't ask a question. You know, we are bringing guest speakers all the time, and there's opportunities everywhere, but you have to learn how to find those opportunities. They don't, you know, come out of the air for you. So, you know, making that fighter mentality and building their confidence. So we do resumes along the way. I do a digital portfolio that I start with Unit 3 in ECS, so that we do HTML, we do some Dreamweaver, but then we do a content management system so that they'll have a professional-looking website that they can manage without needing, you know, to pay for their own site, so that they can, you know, once they do the scratch projects, and they have their Go Animate videos that we do. We make dialogues out of them. You know, now they have a body of work that they can use to promote themselves. Because I think they need, kids don't come to school thinking school's of any value. And it's sort of up to the teacher now to connect what you do to how it is in the world. And it's a constant repetition. You know, they don't get it and own it the whole time. A lot of times it, like, fades away, and you have to keep coming at them to get them to connect, yes, this is why I'm doing it. And we've learned, like, being an effective communicator and being a problem solver and being technologically literate, like, those lead to jobs. And that's why we're here. I'm like, why are you in my classroom? What is the point? Is it because you have nowhere else to go? Like, what is our goal through this process?
Yeah, I have a young lady in one of my classes, so we were talking, and I says, what do you want to do? And she says, I want to be an artist. I says, okay. Have you ever thought about posting your artwork on the internet and forming your own digital art gallery? She goes, can you do that? And I go, yeah, you can do that. She goes, well, how do you do that? And I says, I'm not real sure, but I think we found our project for the semester. And
that's a great project. Yeah.
And I says, once I mentioned that and we sort of been hitting around the subject, I says, well, the first thing you need is a computer. I got a whole room full of those. You know, you got the artwork on your binder. Now, let's take it one step at a time. Get your artwork into the computer, and let's post that, and let's see what happens. And once I hit her up, you start to see the bells and the whistles starting to move.
Right.
And that was kind of cool.
I mean, I think that's awesome, and hopefully you, like, cling to those things. I mean, I think sometimes as a teacher, I have so many successes, I'm happy to say, but what keeps me up and what keeps me thinking are the ones that I'm not reaching, you know, the ones who still come sort of downcast and not trying. Like, those are the ones you keep fighting for because, you know, once that girl, like, it's amazing. Now that she has it, hopefully she'll keep having that, and now you can turn your eyes on somebody else to bring up. But I keep telling my students, like, I can easily get one of you across the finish line, but there's one of me and 40 of you at a time. You know, we can hold our hands and try to get there together. You know, it's all about helping each other. And one of the things for the ECS course, their unit 2 is on problem solving, and that sort of cracked something in my classroom. You know, we did all these different activities where they're given a challenge, and I would change it up where sometimes they were alone in their challenge and then they could share their answers, or sometimes they were in small groups. And that type of problem solving and just trying to crack a puzzle really got them thinking and realizing how fun it is to do trial and error and how safe it is to try something and get it wrong because it helps you solve it, you know, later. And then I do problem solving right before the scratch unit, which is, you know, the ECS programming unit. And one of the things that I do, I use Edmodo. Are you familiar with that? It's a website where you can, like, manage your classroom, basically. So when I say give assignments, I write it in Edmodo, and it almost looks like Facebook. They get the assignment and they turn it in to me through that. So, like, there's no more paper in my classroom, and everything is cloud-based. They get Edmodo on their phones. They get it on their computers. They can get it, you know, as long as you have internet, you can get the assignments.
Yeah, well, we have something in school called School Loop, which is kind of like that. And I put everything onto that, and then I go one step further.
School Loop, do they have their own accounts? Like, I'm communicating directly with the student through that.
Yeah, they have their own accounts.
Okay, and I can grade through it, so they can see their grades at all times.
All the grades are posted. Everything's posted. And I do one thing further is I tell them, you bring me a blank DVD or a 4-gig flash drive, I will give you the entire curriculum, everything, the notes, the research, the PowerPoints, everything. All you have to do is ask me. And I said, that way, if you need it, you've got it. Yeah. You know, I'm not hiding anything from you. I want you to be able to find it.
Right, right. You know?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, so with Scratch, ECS sort of starts with little activities so you can learn different parts of Scratch. And I have learned that instead of, like, standing up going, okay, you're going to do this and now do this and follow me doing this, I just give them an incomplete program and say, okay, now make it work. You know, here's a cat on a baseball field, make him go around the bases. That's my only instruction, you know, and then they share out how they did it or, you know, they walk around and they figure it out. But we did one for rock, paper, scissors where I was like, okay, here's the rock, paper, scissors. You can change them, make the game work. And it was an interesting class. I think it was an hour class period, and the kids started moaning because, you know, after about 5 minutes of trying, a lot of them were like, wow, this is really hard. And a couple of them were like, my head hurts because you're thinking. And maybe you're not
thinking
so used
hurt,
to that.
Thinking hurts.
So I was like, look, I don't care. You have this hour. You do whatever you can. You turn it in. I'm not going to grade it. You turn it in. You know, we'll just see where we are. Because, like, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to, like, teach it. But the truth is I don't even know Scratch that well because they've been able to figure it out, but I've never had to become an expert at it. And I've learned when I'm not an expert, I ask really good questions because I don't give away the answer. So we did that, and then I looked at the end of class, and I went through, and the 8 kids had solved the program. They finished it completely. So I didn't have to teach it the next day because the next day I got those 8 kids to stand up, and they each kid took on 2 or 3 other kids, and by the end of that class, I would say 90% of the kids had figured out the program because they were helping each other.
I tend to do
after
this.
After that,
I do the
they
same
started
thing.
Talking more.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I try to do that, keep them in groups of 3. And, well, for example, one of the kids in my electronics class brought a great big bass amp in to school to try and fix the amplifier. So I rolled it out in front of my computer kids, and I said, okay, here's our project for today. Well, plug it in. I said, no, you don't even have to plug it in. Like, here's the problem symptoms. Y'all got cell phones, y'all got internet, y'all got your tablets, y'all got your toys. Here are the symptoms. Now, how do you find the answer to the question? What's wrong with it? You don't even have to plug it in. Here are the symptoms and go look for it. And they all kind of looked at me dumbfounded for a few minutes, and I said, okay, well, it's a Fender amp. Where would you go first? Well, let's go to Fender.com. Now we're starting to think. You know, and by the end of the period, they all had a list of about 4 things that could be wrong with it. And then the kid who actually owned the amp came in, and I handed him a list that here's your solutions. And that's what we're attacking now. Because I got
awesome.
My computer kids. Yeah, I got my computer kids thinking, okay, you got the tools. Now go use them.
And I think that's what they need. They need those real-world examples, and they need help. They don't just naturally go and think. And one of the best things that my students experienced was we went on a field trip to UCLA and they had a panel of people from Google. And the students were allowed to ask questions. And a couple of kids asked questions, you know, about Google's hiring or something about Google Doodle. And the Google people didn't know the answer to everything, which, you know what their response was when a kid asked a question they didn't know the answer to? They said, you know what you should do? You should go Google it. I'm like, if the Google people are telling you to go look it up, like, that's the answer. The answer is not to keep, you know, not to ask a question and wait for somebody to do the work and give you the answer. The answer, you know, go figure it out. Go look it up. Go follow the trail. Go see what could be happening. And they get so excited. What I tell people is when I teach using this method of this problem-solving method, it takes longer. It definitely takes longer. You know, I don't cover all the curriculum that I want to usually in a school year because things take longer than you want them to take. But that's where the thinking is. And if it takes longer for them to figure it out, then that's what it is. Because during that process, they're learning so much and they're gaining their confidence and they're gaining their independence. And I do feel like as teachers, that's what we have to be building in our kids. We have to be building these problem solvers who can communicate and who can try and fail. And if they're not taught to do it, it doesn't seem like a natural instinct for most of the students. So you have to, like, really teach that process.
In my second period computer class, we were sitting around talking one day, just trying to get them to think. One kid says, can we do games in here? I says, no, we can't play games, but we can network test. And the kid says, what do you mean? I said, well, I've got all the computers. I got all the hardware. I got everything you need. Well, we need a way of testing it. Well, we haven't built it yet. Anyway, a long story short, the second period class got together as a group, and they want to put an internal gaming system together in the room.
Cool.
And that's cool. And then this morning, a kid brought his guitar in. So I said, well, he had a headphone jack, the amp jack busted off, so we fixed it. And we hooked up to an amp and got that playing. I said, now, you ever played guitar? And the guy goes, well, I'm not real good. I said, I'm going to ask you how good you are. Have you played? He goes, yeah. I said, okay, how would you like to do a concert? He goes, where? I said, right here. You mean right here? I said, Juan over there wants to be an audio engineer. You're a guitar player. If I match two up, I'm getting off the subject of computer science, but it's the same idea. If we match you guys up, we can do a concert right here in the classroom. And he goes, me, I can do that? And I go, why not? Produce it here in the room. And if we goof up, we hit the delete button and go, oops, that never happened. But it got
right.
him thinking. It got them thinking.
It's great. It's get them thinking and then to follow through. I'm actually in the process of the course that I teach after Exploring Computer Science because I get my kids in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. I have them for 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So the junior year course is now becoming a game design course where we do mobile apps, and we're going to hopefully use, I think, Game Maker to make some, like, console-type games, which, you know, I've never done before. But we're going to figure it out, and the kids are very excited. But it's also getting them to develop an idea and follow the idea through, you know, like we're
follow
learning how to do. Right. Well, they want to give up a lot of the time.
It's easy.
You know,
it's
like
easy,
they
it's
have
easy
these
to give
huge
up.
Huge ideas. Right. And they have like huge ideas. So it's also teaching them to maybe like scale up their ideas. I think the term in computer science is abstraction. You know, you do little bits at a time so that you can actually be successful. Because if you take on a huge project, and all you see is the finish line and you don't break it down to pieces, it becomes impossible and you don't manage it and you quit.
Yeah.
So we're doing these mobile apps, and I've given them the game design document, like plan out your idea. In the meantime, here's some tutorials so you can, you know, create Pong and create, you know, this like whack-a-mole game and mini golf games. So like you can see what the program does. And that way you can start to modify it and think of how you would use this to make your own game. And, you know, like, figure it out any way you know how, but because some of the kids are like, this is boring, we don't want to follow a tutorial, we want to do our own thing. I'm like, great, plan your own thing, but when you get stuck doing that, then go to the tutorial to figure out how you're going to solve that.
Yeah, I'm one of the few teachers who, when they, you know, I get that deer in the headlight look, I say, okay, pull out your internet-enabled device and Google it. And they all look at me like, we can't do that. I go, why not? This is a technology class. Use the technology to find the answers, you know?
Right, right.
Because
they're like,
what
I wish more teachers did that. Because that's what I say. I'm like, in real life, that's what I would do. When I have a problem, when you guys ask me a question, I don't know the answer, I look up the answer. So, like, let's take me out of the equation and let you start looking up the answer. And, you know, they get, like, when they do scratch programming or when they're doing these mobile apps, they get stuck. They can't find something that they think they should find, and they come to me like it's my fault that they can't find it. But I'm very aware of who's doing what in my room. I'm like, okay, those two people, they just did what you just did. So go over there and ask them how they figured it out. You know, so now I'm out of the equation. I try to remove myself out of the equation as much as possible because I don't exist in their real life. You know, once you leave high school, you don't have a teacher checking up on you and giving you the answers. So I keep telling people I feel like I'm more of a facilitator. I'm like the bumpers for, like, little kids on a bowling alley to make sure the ball doesn't go in the gutter and that it keeps going down the lane. But I'm not the one bringing the ball down the lane. That's them. You know, I'm just there to make sure they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, that is so cool. no, I'm reflecting on all this and thinking, okay, now I have a better idea of where I need to start because my partner who came in, he's a retired teacher, and he's the one who got me into the podcasting and the broadcasting. He stopped by today. And I asked him, would you spend 10 minutes just talking to my computer class about where they can go? Well, 10 minutes became a 45-minute lecture about becoming a millionaire. And he says, you know, he says, you need to stop thinking about getting a job. You need to think about becoming a millionaire. Take what you learn in here to go do that. And I think he said more than 45 minutes than I've been trying to say in 4 weeks.
Well, I tell people that even though I think I'm a pretty good teacher, I think I still sound like, you know, the Peanuts teacher to my students, you know, like the wah, 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 because
wah,
it's
wah,
my
wah,
voice.
Yeah.
So I keep bringing people in as much as I can and trying to expose my kids to as much as I can because the more they hear it from different voices, the more it resonates. And, you know, I used to be in television. I've had jobs outside of being a teacher, and they respect the career that I had before I became a teacher. Now I'm just a teacher, you know, so it helps to bring people who are out in the field coming to them. And, you know, I keep telling them, like, we do mock interviews and job shadows and all of that, and they all want to ask people how much they make. I'm like, you can't ask that because it's rude, but it's also irrelevant because whatever they make is from their years of experience. And, you know, I like what your friend said about how to become a millionaire, but that takes time. And you have to, you don't just become a millionaire. You know, maybe that's your goal and that's where you're trying to get to, but you're doing, you know, it's like building a program. You're doing these baby steps along the way to build it up.
Yeah.
So
I've,
it's just, you know, making those connections.
Yeah. You talked about your success stories. So over the years, I've had, six of my kids go out and start their own businesses. One won an Emmy Award for his photography work on the X Games. I mean, I've had those success stories. Yeah. And it's like I tell the kids, I says, you know, hey, if you don't believe me, here's all these people who've gone on to do other things. And my challenge to you is, and you're going to do what? You know, take what you learn here and apply it to your future. But it all starts with the problem solving and the creative thinking and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right.
But anyway.
I mean, I just think you keep, clearly you have the right message. And I mean, I just think being a teacher also means you're a little redundant. You say, you know, you repeat yourself because you're trying to scoop all those kids up. And some of them are harder to scoop up.
And some of them, I don't know if you can scoop up, but I sure as heck try. Leslie,
right.
We got about We have about 3 minutes left, so take a deep breath. And all the computer science teachers out there, all the people who are going to hear this show, give them that 1 minute, or my son who just started teaching English for the first time, high school English. Take a deep breath, and that 1 minute, you want to be a great teacher, do this speech.
This is what I was about to say. If you want to be a great teacher, know your students' names and make eye contact with them and make them feel like they are a person that matters in your classroom. And once you have that and you have that mutual level of respect, I really think you can do anything with the students. And that's not about computer science. That's just good teaching. You know, people come with a lot of baggage into your classroom, and it needs to be a place where it's safe and where they're encouraged to think and where they're encouraged to talk to each other and they're encouraged to build their own self-confidence. I keep telling people, it's not about making these kids jump through your hoops. It's about getting these kids to achieve and think and grow as human beings. And if you do that, I really think you can teach them anything. And it's really also you need to value the trial and error and celebrate their failures when you see hard work in the effort. So that's my speech.
Failure to me means that you're doing something. I said the only way you fail my class is you do absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
If you're failing,
same
least,
in my class.
Yeah. If you're failing, at least I know you're doing something. And you have to work harder to fail in my class than you do if you just sit there and do absolutely nothing. Anyway, Leslie, thank you very much. If people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do it?
They can find me on my website, lesliearonson.com. All my information is there. I think my Twitter is also Leslie Aronson, and my school is fauchetech.weebly.com. So you can definitely find me all over the place.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me and giving me things that I need to think about, things I need to conjugate and regurgitate. I want to thank you for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kurt Hahn. I'm the CEO and founder of S3 Productions. And Leslie Aronson was my guest tonight. And if you need to get a hold of me for anything, you reach me at oscssw@juno.com. Facebook is facebook.com/S3Productions1. Or you can reach me through Blog Talk Radio, S3 Production, or Technical Storytelling with a Heart. And Leslie, thank you again. I'm going to call you right back in just a second or two, if that's okay. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening. And y'all have a good night and a wonderful day and have fun. Thank you very much. And Leslie, I'm going to call you right back. And good night.